This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Let's welcome onto the show Sean Saeed, who works over at Sumer Sports. He is part of their stats and scheme presentation, does a really good job breaking down the film of all things NFL, and we wanted to dive in to his analysis, enjoy his work, to talk about what Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels and this offense have done so well through six games. Sean, you're on in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
Of course. I'm doing well. I really appreciate you having me on. You know, before the season, you think about what are the things you think are going to be big storylines before everything, and to see it be Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury working together is really, really cool.
Well, it's cooler for us, I will tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're having fun, Sean.
We have been waiting for a long, long time for some quarterback play like this. But why don't we just start with, speaking of before the season, what was your take on Kingsbury as a hire, as a fit with Daniels, and his time studying him in Arizona? And then how does that juxtapose with how you're feeling right now? Because, man, so far have I been impressed and wrong and thrilled about what he's done.
Yeah, I think going in, you know, was I the most excited person on earth about the Cliff Kingsbury hire? I was not. I think there are some fair critiques of how his offenses have kind of played in different ways in a more modern NFL, whether it's using things where, you know, receivers staying on the side too often and you're not able to, you know, create plays in different ways. But I think we've seen so early on, you know, just after a few weeks, Kingsbury really has grown and has really, you know, done different things on offense, whether it's you use different personnel, you know, you bring some tight ends out on the field and you force the defense into a choice. Are you going to really play heavy against the run, or are you going to, you know, roll the dice with Jaden Daniels? So I think the combination early on is so much further ahead of what I expected. Now we do have a rest of the season to kind of go through and see how things are, but like they're working together. And I think that alone is fun. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, I'm sure you guys are having more fun than me going through such a long stretch, but absolutely just so many signs to be encouraged where you're getting high play from Jaden Daniels, but also I'm seeing on film week after week, like, hey, this is a nice design. You know, this is a good way to attack the defense where sometimes, you know, that was lacking a little bit on some of that Cardinals film.
Yeah, so they're going no huddle a ton, Sean, and it's not like no huddle like you think of. It's not like the Bills in the 90s or something like that, but they don't let you substitute. In a lot of ways, they try to keep the same group on the field and kind of exploiting some of those matchup decisions that you were talking about there. Go into what that's doing for them.
Yeah, I love no huddle that is used in different ways because, like you mentioned, you know, it's not just, hey, we get to the line as fast as possible and snap the ball and just kind of keep things moving. You can get to the line quick and then slow down after that. And I think that the way that Kingsbury is manipulating defenses, it goes back to how he's using his personnel. So you get some, like, these two tight end looks on the field, the defense is probably going to use one of their heavier groupings, probably more linebackers on the field, but they can get to a lot of their pass concepts out of that. So if they can, you know, secure that because they've been successful on early downs, running the ball really outside of that Ravens game. If a defense has to respect that run game, now they're going to get their base personnel. And that's when I think a lot of the fun can happen where now you spread things out from that heavier look or get to some of your pass concepts from formations that, you know, a team might look at that and say, hey, this is probably going to be a run, but now you're able to kind of break that tendency.
So one of the, I'll give you the couple of things that I was really worried about from his Arizona days, and this is less my own takes as much as when I ask coaches around the league that I know, or certainly analysts who study this, that they say this just doesn't work at a high rate. The idea that he doesn't move his top receivers around seemed like it was a death sentence, and the lack of motion in the offense, which all good offenses have at a high rate, seemed problematic. Is he doing more of those things, or has he found ways to mask what appears to be deficiencies in how he did it in the past?
You're still going to see Terry McLaurin really kind of locked on to some of those kind of outside vertical routes. So I don't think that, like, as a philosophical point, is really shifting for Cliff. I do think that the ways that he used motion, even for example, against Baltimore, like, he has, you know, a clearer, you know, an idea of how to use it. So I think that you're getting some success there, where some of these individual designs are maybe what you're seeing is more positive, whether it's, you know, like, it looks like they're running counter, but it looks like they're throwing a screen, but now you're getting a kind of player going inside on the screen. Or, of course, you get that kind of flea flicker quick screen as well to be able to create an explosive play. So I think those criticisms, you know, you should continue to hold them a little bit. Like, we want to see him able to have a full season, or you get into that back half of the year when teams are going to attack you in different ways in your offense. You know, you have to find some different answers. But, you know, guys, it really helps when you have Jaden Daniels able to kind of erase some of those issues.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's been a marriage made in heaven, because Daniels is making him better. He's making Daniels better. I saw some data last night that he's, I think, top three in terms of throwing to his first read, and he has the highest EPA per play when throwing to his first read. So they're making life a little bit easier for Jaden Daniels, which is the job of the coordinator as well. Sean Saeed is with us, X's and O's for Sumer Sports, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Going back to you, you just mentioned the flea flicker screen. There was a play right after that I had not seen before, where they kind of had this big bubble-looking developing screen to Eckler, and then De'Ami Brown comes downhill hard into a tunnel screen on the same play, and everyone was kind of moving toward the sideline, and he hits him coming back toward the middle of the field. It was just, like, awesome stuff. I guess, has Kingsbury always had really creative trick play or just different concepts? And then B, how many other teams use some of the alignments they are? They're doing some really cool stuff with, like, 4-by-1 and how they're actually lining guys up that I haven't seen a lot of. Is it unique to them, or is that happening all over the league?
It is certainly unique to them. You know, when you look at what just the formations look like, you're not seeing those in other places. I think part of that is because, you know, you have Jaden Daniels in the pistol, and then, you know, you'll see teams just be in the pistol. So, like, you're kind of, you know, a few yards off the center, you have a running back behind you. But I think what they're doing well is you have, like, one tight end to his side. You have a second tight end to his other side. Sometimes you have two tight ends to the same side, kind of in a shout out to, like, the go-go offense that you'll see UNLV running in college. So I do think that he has found good ways to take some of these kind of, like, high-level college ideas, and you're using that now as window dressing. It's not just, like, your whole offense is based out of, your whole concept is based out of that, but you're using that as kind of your unique way to leverage your personnel to force the defense into certain looks. And then you're running, like, the kind of same concept that other teams are running in your pass game. So I really like that blend, where it feels like that has been a little bit more cohesive. And then, like you mentioned, like, that kind of fake swing, kind of tunnel screen, like, that, he clearly was paying attention when he was at USC. You know, you get a few just, like, even more creative designs, where some of the creativity, I think, in Arizona, he, like, felt maybe a little too college-y. And I hate to use that, because I don't want it to feel like an insult, because, like, I love watching college football. It's so creative. You're going to get so many good ideas from there. But now it feels like he's tying those ideas to, like, a real, real NFL offense that I feel like is going to be sustainable from, like, a conceptual level.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
So, Sean, I want to get into one thing here about this offense. And this is not a complaint, just an observation. You mentioned Baltimore, they played this past week, Cleveland the week before. I actually think both defenses are pretty good, even though you could have fooled me with what Washington did to the Browns, especially as kind of the game progressed. But they seem to have a key or figured out something about Washington's design Jaden Daniels runs, right? They love to run to the right. I think of the week before, they scored that touchdown kind of student body right out of the pistol where Daniels just sort of jogged in untouched with a cadre of lead blockers in front of him. They ran similar plays, if not the same play, and Baltimore had an answer for it, stuffed him for like a negative one or zero. Cleveland did the same thing. I feel like maybe some of that has been solved a little bit. And I'm just sort of wondering if that's either, A, if you noticed that, but B, is that maybe pulling on a thread that they're starting to catch on to some of the other stuff too?
I do think that something is to be said, like when you have Kyle Hamilton on the outside as a player to kind of deal with Jaden Daniels, like that makes life a little bit easier for a defense. And the quarterback run game is really hard. Like when you think of in division where Jalen Hurts, you know, when they run zone read, he's going around the outside. Like he's not really just able to create tons of yards that way. So, and like at a high level, the NFL has found so many ways to deal with the zone read where it's like you have the defensive end crashing down and now my linebacker is going to go over the top. I think I do want to see, you know, Kingsbury, what is your next step from that? Like, how can you kind of tie your looks as if Jaden Daniels is going to keep it? Now, how do we get kind of a pass off of that? So I do think that's a smart thread to look at where in this game, I mean, against the Ravens, the run game had a lot of issues. And even then, I think the reason why I'm most encouraged about this offense is because Daniels was able to keep things moving when the run game was not just totally on schedule. But I do think, you know, it's going to be on Kingsbury to find ways to be creative where, you know, even if some of those quarterback keepers aren't able to have success, like what are you tying in off of that?
And that's where I was going to go. Sean Sayed of Sumer Sports with us here on G&D. I almost wonder if you're still showing it because you've got a counter. If you got something else later on, you've got to kind of keep, you know, beating your head against the wall. Do you think Cliff is playing that kind of level of 3D chess there, Sean?
I mean, I hope so. I hope there's some sort, whether it's just like an RPO where you're having, you know, like an inside receiver kind of releasing on a vertical route and now you're kind of connecting in that way. But I do think Daniels in the run game is so, so positive. And if you're able to, you know, even if Daniels doesn't have a ton of yards a game, as long as like a linebacker just has to wait like an extra second, you know, if you can just hold on to that player and have the threat of the run, that is so impactful because you can have Eckler running downhill. When Brian Robinson comes back, you can have him running just straight downhill at people and doing a good job breaking tackles. So even if you don't see Daniels just continuing to succeed on the outside, the threat of him and the presence of him, it has such a positive impact on your running backs, and it makes your offensive line job just a little bit easier.
Sumer Sports, Sean Sayed with us on Grant and Danny. He watches the film, very smart football gentleman. What about their run game non-Daniel specific and what they've been able to get? Now, last week, Brian Robinson was out. They took on the best run defense in the league in the Ravens, and the well dried up. But, man, have they been good on the ground with Austin Eckler and the way they've used him. I mean, they plug in Jeremy McNichols. They don't miss a beat. What are you seeing from what Cliff's doing in the run game with his backs?
I think the run game has been very creative. And that was something I think going into the season, I wasn't sure exactly how it would play out, but they're going to run a ton of concepts and they do a good job with their formations where you're going to see, you know, two receivers out to one side, two tight ends out to the other side. So now the defense can't just play it even. Like they have to, you know, are you going to move a cornerback in a different direction or your cornerback is the edge of your defense. And now we're just going to go ahead and attack him. And in a league that defenses want to play lighter in the box, they want to have four down linemen, they want to have two linebackers, they want to be able to play those defenses that are a little bit more kind of pass coverage heavy. So if you're able to be physical in the run game, that is such a plus. Like we think about some of the best teams in the league, like the Lions offense, where they're just running teams over. The Commanders do have a little bit of that in them from the design perspective, But also their offensive line, I think, has impressed me, where that's another part of this unit. We're going into the season. I was not going to pretend like, oh, yeah, this offensive line is going to be like a plus unit. But they've, I think, meshed pretty well together, even while rotating some guys. So I think from a design perspective, you're a little bit unique in terms of what other teams across the league are doing. You're physical. You're attacking defenses at them. And now you have, again, Daniels on the outside, where even if he's not keeping the ball, it's enough that people have to just play a little bit slower. Now you got Brian Robinson running downhill.
Is there somebody that you've kind of got circled here? The highlight guys, Sean, we know. I mean, Robinson has been so good, sort of thumping. Austin Ekeler per touch has been great in this offense. You know, McLaurin's grinding out those yards too. When you watch this offense go, is there somebody you go, the second half of the year or at some point in the not-too-distant future, a breakout is coming or one of these big performances is coming? Do you see something like that from this offense, or is it going to be a different guy every week?
Yeah, it does feel like you're going to get guys kind of in different situations. Robinson's been just such an awesome thing kind of going forward. You know, I'm falling in love with Sam Cosby. Like, I really love watching him play football. I think Tyler Biadasz is – obviously, he had some, success in Dallas and being able to play in that direction. So I feel like, you know, let's focus on that interior offensive line. I think that's a situation where that can sustain you kind of game after game, where even though, you know, you have outside the top receiver out there, like, I do really like Noah Brown on the outside, but for me, like, my heart is stuck in that offensive line. I think what they're doing up front.
Sean Saeed is with us from Sumer Sports. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Couple of moments left with a very smart X's and O's analyst. I want to dive in on the rest of the way. So far, A pluses for Daniels, for Kingsbury. You referenced, though, something Danny and I have brought up, which is in Arizona, they got off to some amazing starts and kind of ran into a wall. Are there any areas we should be monitoring, things we should consider, like what happened in the past? I keep saying, though, Kingsbury never had Daniels, who makes you right a lot more often, and it seems like maybe they're going to be okay. But what's your thought on sustaining this and not hitting that same wall?
Yeah, the games I really have circled are the Bears in 2 weeks, and then you get the Steelers in week 10, where I'm in that week 8 game to see the Eagles and the Bengals get bumped out of that kind of better slot for Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams is very fun, but that's a separate thing. I was really curious in this Ravens game, when you're playing against a top-end defense or really like a modern kind of push you around in different ways defense that is able to stop your run game, what do things look like? And for Daniels to really pass the test here, where thinking about that drive kind of going into halftime, you're able to get success, that feels like it's a player-level thing. So even if, you know, there are times when it's like, hey, there's no open receivers here. You're still able to kind of scramble around a little bit. You know, thinking of that play where Daniels is going to his right, Kyle Hamilton smacks him, but you're still able to get that throw. So you hope that Daniels is able to kind of clear some of those hurdles. But, you know, you pass his first test. I don't want to be the moral victory guy. It's easier for me. You know, I'm not living down there or up there and have to see it and feel it every single day. But you showed so much in that Baltimore game that makes me feel a little bit better. I just want to continue to see situations where Jaden is getting to his second read, he's getting to his third read, and he's shown that on the film. Actually, really against Arizona, he showed it a bunch. But just having concepts where, you know, it's not just, hey, we're like, it's a one throw and go sort of situation. So I think that is really, you know, to be seen, and just situations where Jaden has to work later into the down, and, you know, you're going to be forced to stay in the pocket, which I've loved what I've seen from him so far this season. I want to make sure we continue to see that going through the rest of the season. And hey, you know, after a certain while, you're just going to be competing for the NFC East.
Sean, great convo, man. Appreciate the time today.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Really, really good information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app